Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Friday to you. More importantly, happy National Margarita Day to everyone.
Thanks.
To you, Jamie, because I know you love a good margarita. If you're driving around and you're on your way to get a margarita at 10:04 in the morning, a little questionable, but I give you a thumbs up.
Not if you work the overnight shift.
There are some people down the hall already drinking margaritas.
Don't doubt that.
Yeah, there are already people down there drinking margaritas.
So I've got a Twitter poll if you'd like to weigh in. Real simple, frozen or on the rocks? Which do you prefer, frozen or on the rocks? We can set that up text-wise, too, maybe.
Yeah, let me give
frozen or on the rocks?
See, it depends. Now, I'm going to say overall my vote is on the rocks.
Because you're an adult.
Well, because I just want to get it in my gullet. And if you crush a frozen margarita, I'm going to get a brain freeze.
Yeah.
And you know me, I don't love the taste of tequila. I don't love tequila drinks. I enjoy them, especially the effects. So if I'm going to drink a tequila drink, I want to consume it fast. And if I consume a frozen drink, my head will explode. So okay. I don't want that. So I would vote for on the rocks. Now, if I'm on a beach or I'm at a pool, I'm at a resort, give me the frozen all day.
I think that's the appropriate place to drink anything that's frozen like that. Any kind of frozen daiquiri or anything, I think that's okay if you're at a resort. But otherwise, it just tastes better on the rocks. It's just easier to drink and it just tastes better that way. So
if you're rolling down the street in Vegas,
yeah,
I'm going to have one of those yards of margarita. That thing's going to be frozen.
Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah. But generally speaking, you know, just out at happy hour or in Kansas City. And if you want to text in, now all my friends on Twitter have realized it's National Margarita Day. And they're all talking about where they're going to get their margaritas today. If you want to text in, who's got the best margarita in town? I have happy hour plans later, but I made those plans not knowing it was National Margarita Day.
How do you not plan for National Margarita Day?
I could change that.
How do you?
I could go somewhere. Because I like
people.
A lot of different things, Wicket, and didn't know and came up with a really good place for happy hour. Actually, we'd seen a story yesterday on a Market Watch about your favorite cocktails. We'll get to this a little bit later.
This is weird.
It completely explains me.
Okay.
It explains that I like margaritas, and given that I'm from Chicago, and that's the oddball in the study, based on the cocktail that's big there, this totally explains me.
The problem with this poll thing that you're citing is they only did six markets.
Yeah.
They did
averages.
They did the biggies.
Yeah.
And then one weird outlier, which I'm guessing is where the company is based, but we'll get to that a little bit later on. All right, let me create the text poll.
Yeah.
Talk for like 20 seconds here while I do that.
Okay, so we'll do the text poll. Here's the other thing I'll say about margaritas, and maybe this is a controversial take on this. If you use pre-mixed sour mix in your margaritas, I'm not sure that I want you to be my friend. That's, to me, that it is something that I will ask a bartender about before I drink a margarita. Are you making your own sour mix? Or are you taking it out of a bottle? Because that neon-looking, yellow, electric-looking stuff is so vile to me that that's my only requirement about that. Otherwise, bring it in any form. We're also going to bring you the latest updates in the Jussie Smollett case. That, again, breaking a lot during the show yesterday. The update this morning is that Empire has decided that he is not going to appear in the final two episodes of the season. My guess is that's all they've got left mm-hmm. to air. So they have suspended him, saying it's too much of a distraction. You knew that was coming, but they're not going to have him appear in the last two episodes of the season. I believe bond yesterday was set at $100,000. He did not make any comments as he left the courthouse. He just got into a waiting vehicle and left and didn't say anything. His lawyers have been speaking a little bit, though, on his behalf. And the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, was talking this morning pretty passionately about kind of the bruise on the city that it was unnecessarily. So those are the updates in the Jussie Smollett case. Okay, it's a poll done?
Yeah, it is. And real quick, okay. One more note. I can't believe this guy's still claiming innocence.
Yeah.
Like, he spoke to the Empire cast and apologized.
You gotta write it out, you know?
Like, he apologized to the shame that he's brought the show, and the show's getting crushed for it. Like, I'm seeing ridiculous people say the show should be canceled. No, it's not Terrence Howard. Fine. It's not Taraji P. Henson. It's a guy who made a stupid mistake. He should serve time in jail and never work again in Hollywood in this career. My opinion. But he's still claiming he's innocent. Mm-hmm. He's saying that every FBI investigation, every police officer, they're all lying. They're all wrong. How can you die on this sword? Beg for mercy. Be like, look, I tried. I thought I was doing something good. I thought I was doing it well. I'm an idiot. I'm super duper sorry. This is not helping his sentence get reduced in any way by to continue to claim innocence.
No.
Moron.
But he, you know, you've got to keep following the story that you created. You know, you set up the lie. And I guess he feels like he's got to follow it through. I'm sure he's getting advice from his lawyers on that to plead not guilty and to see where it goes. Maybe he thinks he will be found. Maybe he thinks the evidence, you know, even though he knows everything that he did, maybe he thinks the evidence does not support him being found guilty, you know, and he thinks if he just rides it out, then he'll be found not guilty.
Yeah, there's no way there. I mean, this is getting worse and worse for him. All the details. We talked a lot about it yesterday. It is up on our Facebook page if you want to read more about it. He's still claiming innocence. Unbelievable. But he's going to be gone. They'll replace him. Somebody else will be his character.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Because I don't know the show, but I know that he plays a son, I assume either of Terrence Howard or Taraji P. Henson, or both. I don't know if they're married in the show. I know nothing about the program, except it's been on for a while.
And aren't there three sons?
Yes, there are.
You could write them out.
Just get rid of them.
You got two others. You got two other sons. Write them out. Write them off.
If anybody watches Empire, Sam, you're a young person. Don't ask how young. Do you watch Empire?
I do not watch Empire.
Okay.
I was going to say, how many people do you think are going to tune into the last two episodes of Empire just to see if he's not there?
Yeah.
I think this is a publicity stunt gone wrong for
Jesse. J-U.
And it's going to end up doing well for Empire.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, young black male actors in Hollywood are all lining up to take that role. You know, if they can somehow try to get themselves in the door in front of the producers, everybody who knows anything about Terrence Howard or Taraji P. Henson is making a phone call to their agents or their best friends. Mm-hmm. Or they ran into you at a party that one time.
Yeah.
And every young black male actor wants that role next year because, you know, people are going to watch. Now we also know he makes about $60,000-$70,000 an episode. So, you know, guys are going to want that role.
I don't know. But I don't know if the show gets more popular because of this. My guess is this story gets forgotten pretty soon.
Yeah, probably.
I think the news cycle moves so quickly. I don't think this is going to make more people watch it. I don't think fewer people are going to watch it either. I think if you like the show, you're probably just going to keep watching the show.
I think if it was Terrence Howard, you might stop watching the show.
If it was a bigger name, yeah.
Right, because so many people are trying to compare this to Roseanne, and that's not in the same stratosphere of stardom.
Yeah.
Everybody in the country knows who Roseanne is. Nobody knew who Jesse Smollett was. A month ago.
No.
You didn't know who Jussie Smollett was. Maybe not until a week ago when it really started to unravel.
Yeah.
All right. It's a text poll now. Blended or rocks?
Okay. So for those, I didn't know when he said blended that he meant frozen.
You can also type frozen.
Okay.
Well, let's do frozen or rocks.
Yeah. Frozen or rocks.
All right.
So you said rocks, not on the rocks.
Right. Just the word rocks or the word frozen. Text it in to 7288. Oh boy, 3, 2, 1.
Wow.
Text it in to 22980, the normal text line. It's not a keyword to cash.
Let me erase that sign up there. That's
not
the problem.
Not a keyword to cash. I did just look at it.
Yeah, that's the problem. I'm going to go erase that here during the break.
How do you like your margarita? You can vote on Twitter. Follow Jamie at JamieKMBZ. Also, you can text in frozen or rocks. Text either word to 22980, and we'll update the poll for you. You're a rocks?
I'm on the rocks with salt.
Sam?
I was just about to say, the real question is salt or no salt. I'm an on the rocks with salt kind of guy.
So I was going to ask that, salt or no salt, but it seems like the more divisive question is frozen or on the rocks. But I'm with you. I'm the with salt.
I don't get the salt thing.
I don't know why. I just like it.
Do you go around the rim and like...
No.
And you?
I do. I love salt. I have a weird... addiction with salt.
We all love salt.
Yeah.
But I don't like salt off the rim and then take a sip.
No, I don't necessarily make an effort to eat the salt that's on the glass. I just kind of like that it sort of ends up in the glass a little bit and ends up, I like the salt mix, especially if it's a really sweet margarita. which I don't love. I like it to be a little more sour with lime than I do sweet with triple sec or whatever. But yeah, I like a little bit of salt on there.
I guess I should restate myself. I don't like lick it off while I'm drinking it. But, but if there's some salt left when I'm done drinking it, yes, I finish up the salt.
Text line's going crazy right now.
All right. Text the line's word. Nuts. It is a National Margarita Day. Text the word frozen or the word rocks. How do you like your margarita? Text it in to 22980. It's midday with Jamie and Wickett. Got a bunch of stuff to get to, including a sequel to a movie from way back in the day, making a lot of noise. But coming up next, is this a good way to improve reading scores at your kids' school? We'll tell you what one Arkansas lawmaker has suggested next. All right, update on our poll question here on National Margarita Day. You can text the word rocks or the word frozen into 22980. How do you like yours? 81% of you going with on the rocks.
Wow.
Yeah.
I am pleasantly surprised at that.
81% of you like your margaritas on the rocks as opposed to blended or frozen. So keep them coming in. Text the word frozen or the word rocks into 22980, or follow us on Twitter. Jamie's got it on her page, and I will retweet it from the KMBZ page Twitter account as well.
Tell me again, the results that you gave me were from Twitter, not from the text poll,
that's the text poll.
Okay, so we can check the Twitter poll a little bit later. So the next story, you good?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get your poll. I'm trying to answer your poll. I have to answer your stupid poll question. There we go.
No, wait a minute.
No, it's the same thing. It's 79 to 21.
What do you mean stupid poll question?
I have to answer it before I can see the answer.
Oh, so
you
the
know
poll
what
question's
I mean?
Not stupid. You don't like that you just have to answer it before you can
it's
do
it. It's First World Friday. Okay. I got problems.
We'll talk about problems later. We will talk about problems in the 1 o'clock hour coming up a little bit later. Next story comes to us out of Arkansas, though. There's no easy way to get from margaritas to what we're about to talk about, quite frankly. So we're just going to pretend like the two topics naturally kind of go together because there's no easy way around it. So when we were out doing the show out last Friday from Liberty, we spent quite a bit of time talking about school lunch balances and how school districts are really having to struggle to figure out what to do with unpaid school lunch balances. Kind of on that note, there's an Arkansas lawmaker that wants to connect reading scores to school lunch funding. Again, stories out of West Memphis. We got this out of Fox 4. One Arkansas lawmaker wants to get more students reading by putting money on the line, specifically their lunch money. Representative Alan Clark, a Republican out of Lonsdale, proposed a bill that would cut lunch funding in schools that struggle with reading, and he's working to get others to support the idea. The proposed bill, if passed, would reduce a district's national school lunch funding if they are struggling to get kids reading. It would tie it to test scores. Essentially, what he would do in this bill would cut their national school lunch funding based on how their reading scores are doing. And the longer they go with lower reading scores than whatever he thinks they should be, the more that school lunch funding is going to be cut. As you can imagine, parents are a little confused. The National School Lunch Program puts money into schools and is different than the National School Lunch Act program, just to make this as confusing as it possibly can be. The National School Lunch Act program is the one that does the free and reduced lunches, okay? I believe he is talking about the National School Lunch Program. Quite frankly, because I think legally, he couldn't mess with the other one. I think legally, he couldn't mess with the funding from the National School Lunch Act program because that pays for lunches. That's a poverty thing. That's a free and reduced lunch program. I don't think you can mess with that. He is talking about the National School Lunch Program. They talked to a lot of parents. Clark told KTHV in Arkansas, the bill does not punish the district if it is stuck at a certain level, only if it decreases. So if you maintain steady, I guess that's okay. If you drop, then you're going to be punished by having less money to feed your kids lunch.
So
here's what he said.
Are you kidding?
He explained the reasoning behind the bill. I am not new to controversy, he says. You don't get anything important done without confrontation and taking a few knocks. Seeing that Arkansas children can read is worth a few bruises. When we were at 32% reading proficiency, I was told my bills were too controversial and we couldn't do any better than we were. Now we're at 41%, so I'm thankful I didn't listen. But that still means nearly 60% of our kids are graduating and can't do the most basic thing we send them to school for. Is read. My bill would require that a school district improve their reading proficiency by 0.001% every 2 years. In most businesses, I would be laughed at for suggesting such a small goal, but sadly, many educators act like I've asked them to storm the beaches at Normandy. Improve just this little bit every 2 years. Basically, the standard is just don't go backwards. It appears I have much more faith in our schools than many of our educators do.
Threatening to reduce funding for their school lunches does not, to me, show that you have faith in your school's educators or the educational system.
It shows me you don't understand how things work.
Yeah, this almost sounds like some New Age Darwinism going on.
It shows me that you don't understand. You've got it backwards. That how about put more money into school lunch programs and maybe kids will do better in reading? Like, understand that if they eat better, they will do better in school instead of punishing them for it.
576-7798. You can jump in if you want. I don't know if anybody is going to do this, but do you think this is a good idea to reduce funding for school lunches if reading scores go down? 576-7798. You can also text into 22980. Try not eating lunch today. If you support this, and maybe we should do this, we should have Alan Clark, the Republican senator, from Hot Springs in Garland County, Arkansas. Maybe we should get this Republican senator on and ask him to skip lunch and see how well he does as an adult, being able to focus on his day as an adult and do his work. Skip lunch a couple of times. I know when I'm hungry, I can't really do my job as well as when I have a full belly. I make sure to eat, Jamie, before you and I get on the air. Breakfast really is the most important meal of the day. That's not just an old wives' tale. How in the world anybody can say kids with an empty stomach, potentially, or an emptier stomach, will improve or maintain the same? Like, and by the way, you're targeting, of course, the poorest of kids.
No, let's be clear about that. That's why I said the two laws are different. This is the National School Lunch State Categorical Funding. This is not the program that does free and reduced lunches. So he can't touch that. That's a federal program that deals with poverty, and that's given out to districts based on who can afford lunch. But the confusing part about this, and I get why you're confused, is that I don't know what this program pays for. I don't know like how much of, well, I mean, it pays for lunches. The other one, the National School Lunch Act, is for those free and reduced lunches. My guess is that this program covers the kids that aren't in poverty. So I don't know. But and then this, I'm looking at another version of the story that says it would cut state lunch funding, but it's called the National School Lunch State Categorical Funding. The bottom line is it's going to cut money for lunches. It's going to give schools less money for lunches for kids. So So basically, you are putting it on teachers to improve reading scores, or schools aren't going to have enough money to keep their kids fed at lunch. So you're putting that, you're giving teachers that responsibility.
This is a state that ranks in the bottom five or bottom eight in education every single year. Why are you putting more pressure on them in something like this? I mean, there should be pressure on the schools to improve their scores. You know, I absolutely believe that. But threatening them with reduced funding, like, is not a good idea.
And lunch funding.
Yeah.
Like, not just teacher training money or for extracurricular activities or teacher salaries. This is lunch funding.
For every percentage point their reading scores drop, they should take that percentage away from superintendents, principals, and people who make the most money in the district. Not the teachers. They should take it away from the top if that's the plan.
But that's not... Yeah, they're not talking about taking money away from teachers right now. They're just targeting lunches.
Right.
So.
But what I'm saying is that the schools, if they want to do more to get these kids, make the superintendents care more, make the principals care more, and they're the ones that are taking most of the money.
Yeah, I know. We pick on superintendents and principals for making too much money, but keep in mind, you got to have good leaders in schools, and that filters down to having good teachers.
I don't disagree with that, but that's where the fat can be trimmed. Don't punish the kids.
Yeah, I think you can find it in a lot of ways.
It's 1029. We'll get to your phone calls, including John, who is in Lawrence. You can jump in, 576-7798. Let's get to Mark Lavoie in the newsroom.
A local civil rights leader says Jussie Smollett's story is causing a ripple effect of damage. That story coming up on KMBZ.
Hey, it's Mike Wick, and if you're shopping for new windows, siding, or doors, you don't want some new guy on the street. You want a company who's been around for a while with an established track record that's going to be here and going to be around to stand behind their warranties. I'm talking about my friends at Cornerstone Home Improvement, who have been building their impeccable reputation one homeowner at a time right here in Kansas City for four decades. They're independent, locally owned. My friends over at Cornerstone Home Improvement have got no vested interest in recommending one product or another because they provide and install almost all of them. Now, the other guys in the area, they're going to do their best to push you to buy the products they want you to buy so they can profit the most. Cornerstone's going to walk you through a pressure-free process just like they did for me. My friends at Cornerstone Home Improvement will customize a solution around your objectives, your priorities, your budget, and you won't pay a penny until the project is completed and to your satisfaction. This means they want to get the job done right and as quickly as possible, so there's going to be a minimum of interruption to your life. They can do six windows in just a day. No minimums, lifetime insulation warranties on top of manufacturer's warranties, and 12-month interest-free financing. They should be at the top of your shopping list. Windows, siding, doors, more. Check out my friends at Cornerstone Home Improvement. Free estimates and consultations online. Go to cornerstonewindowskc.com. That's cornerstonewindowskc.com. Five, seven, six, seven, seven, nine, eight. Before we get to your phone calls about the Arkansas funding and the lunches, the angel of death has walked into the studio. Sorry. We say hello to Kara Markser. Last time you were in here during our show, it was, hey, guys, you know that cute, cuddly polar bear that just came to the Kansas City Zoo? Yeah, polar bear died. Now what do you got?
This time I have a giraffe that died in the zoo. Yeah.
What happened?
In this case, it's
the polar bear.
Hamizi. It was an adult male giraffe at the zoo. The zoo just released a statement saying that he suffered an acute spinal cord injury in his behind-the-scenes bedroom on Wednesday morning and likely died instantly. So the entire zoo is in mourning. That's two animals this week.
God. Well, there's going to be another one. They come in threes, you know? We should take bets. What's the next animal to die?
Let's not do that.
Okay.
But that doesn't seem like a nice
That's
thing
awful.
To do at all, does it? Thank you, Sam.
They
awful.
Come in three.
Thanks. Come on.
Come on now.
One of the coolest things to do at the zoo, actually, is to be there at the time that the zoo closes. And and when you're situated in a certain spot, you can take a lot of pictures of the giraffes and stuff as they haul them back in, like back to wherever their enclosures are before they leave for the night. So now there's one fewer
There is.
Kangaroo. To watch.
No, giraffe.
Giraffe.
Oh, why am I confused? I meant giraffes. Why am I saying kangaroo?
So we'll see in about 2 hours when the next dead kangaroo
happens. Yeah, she's just predicted it, I think.
Why does my brain feel like they're the same animal?
They're not anything like.
No. I know.
Are you serious?
Why am I confused
because
about
there's
the difference
a G in
between
both of them?
Have you ever seen Kangaroo Jack?
Okay, the kangaroo's got like
I just went to boxer? Australia and almost hit a kangaroo. So yeah, I'm pretty familiar.
Are you sure you didn't almost hit a giraffe?
I don't know now.
Giraffes have
everything I know is wrong.
Really, really? Are you tired today?
No. Not any more than usual. I'm tired every day. I don't sleep.
Did
so
you
I'm
have
tired every
a
day.
Blended margarita before the show began today you didn't tell me about?
Kind of wish I had.
Okay, giraffes have the really long necks.
Yeah.
Kangaroos have the pouch.
That's what I almost hit. I almost hit a kangaroo in Australia. Okay. It was running across the street. I almost hit it.
There's like a 12-foot difference in the two.
What died?
Giraffe.
Okay.
Long
Just
neck.
Being clear.
Yep.
Long neck.
You're going to have to care. I got research to do now.
You are right.
I got pictures to look through to make sure that's actually what I almost hit.
Did you?
I'm pretty sure they don't have giraffes in Australia.
I don't think they do either. Okay. I know that what I almost hit was a kangaroo. Okay, I'm very certain of that.
Do we?
Because there were signs up that I mocked.
Do we have kangaroos at the Kansas City Zoo?
We do. Quite a few of them.
We're about to lose one more.
They can actually hop around like right next to you.
Oh, can they really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll have a few trips to the zoo
you
in my short
indeed.
Future. Thank you, Angel of Death.
You're
That's Kara Markser.
Can't you ever come in and say anything good, Kara?
Right, like, hey, guys.
Sometime come in with good news.
Yeah. No.
Like, sometime come in with a smile on your face, happy to tell us something.
We are talking about a bill in Arkansas that has been introduced by Republican State Senator Alan Clark that would reduce national school lunch state categorical funding. Now, hang on. For a school, if the overall reading readiness is below a certain percentage. It's stupid that the verbiage of this is all so similar. And Jamie's been trying to read a 37-page report on the actual bill during the commercial.
This is why my head is spinning. This is why my head's in 30 different places.
Let's go back to kangaroos and giraffes.
So I looked up the bill, okay, because it is incredibly confusing, the name of this program, because it is one word off of the national program that free and reduced lunches come from. One word is different, just to make it as confusing as possible. So, yes, I'm looking at the text of Senate Bill 349. And so an act concerning the national school lunch state categorical funding. To reduce the amount of national school lunch state categorical funding a public school district or open enrollment public charter school receives if that school or district overall reading readiness is below a certain percentage and for other purposes. So I said, well, this can't be that difficult. I'll just look and see what that program funds. Wrong. So I found a 37-page report that the Arkansas legislature did that describes to me what that money funds. I'm like, well, this will be very simple because the story that we read said this money doesn't go to school lunches. It goes to tutoring and stuff. No, I'm looking.
That's not good.
I'm reading. Again, this is why my head is going in circles. NSL, that's what we're calling it, that state categorical funding, is state money distributed to school districts based on the concentrations of poverty in their student populations. The NSL state categorical funding program should not be confused with the federal National School Lunch Act program. The state funding is called NSL funding because this just goes on to absolutely confuse me to no end. But the bottom line is, funding is going to be pulled from school districts if they don't meet a certain level of reading readiness. And I think based on this, it does in fact affect lunches. For sure, the other things that would affect are things that would help kids read better. Like in one version of the story that says, the Arkansas Hunger Relief Alliance had said the bill does not affect school lunches, but they said the money is often used for things like one-on-one tutoring, extra instructional time, outreach works, or school nurses.
So if the kids are struggling, you would reduce funding for one-on-one tutoring time. Doesn't that seem counterproductive?
That would help them read better.
Let's go back to the phones and start with John and Lawrence. Hey, John, thanks for hanging, bud. It's a little bit confusing, but we're glad you got in. What do you think?
Well, I tell you what, I get so tired of this school deal. I'm over here in Kansas, and to give a little background, I started my education in a one-room schoolhouse where there was 18 total students, 1 through 8.
Okay.
And I'll guarantee you that was never no limit as far as whether we was learning to read, write, or do math or whatever.
There was never no limit, okay.
I'd like to see these school districts mandate a class size up until maybe the 4th grade, possibly even up to 6th, no more than 15 students.
I'd love to see that.
We're not asking our schools anymore to basically help raise our children because everybody's working. Those parents are working anymore. There's no, the family structure is what's partially wrong with our school districts. And we're asking our schools to straighten them out. I'm not saying every family's that way, but there's a lot of them that way. And another thing that I get so irritated with these school districts is we prepare every student for college. Well, I can't get a school district to tell me what the percentage is that graduates from high school that go to college and the ones that don't.
You can probably find that online. That's public. Graduation rates are public information.
Right. But I guarantee you, we're doing very little for the ones that don't go to college. And we're almost ignoring a group of students. And those group of students is what helps this country progress forward. I mean, you can read study after study. We need people to fix things, car mechanics. I mean, I could go through the list here.
Yeah, I mean, we've had that conversation about trade schools and those kinds of things as well. And thank you for getting in, John. We definitely appreciate you jumping in.
I'm going to politely disagree for just a moment. Having been on the board of a school that put a lot of focus in Kansas City on career readiness, that is outside of these college prep track, there is a lot of focus on getting kids, because not every kid is destined for college. So there is a focus on more trades and that kind of thing.
And we need people to work those trade jobs for sure. Hey, John in Topeka, you're next up on KOBZ. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
I can defend this guy.
Do you want to defend
this
guy?
Does he need defending?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think he said some great things about class sizes. I would love to see class sizes at 15.
He's talking about the Republican state senator from Arkansas.
Yeah, it would be the insanity defense.
Oh, okay.
That's the only thing I can think of. Because making children hungry and starving them to make them learn more, it's not going to work. And the fact is I liked your idea. Make superintendents and administrators, make their pay equivalent to the success of the school. The children are successful, then the superintendents get paid full wages. If the children are not succeeding, then the superintendent gets his wages cut until he quits.
And again, I don't know how much a superintendent directly would affect Timmy's ability to read, but I love the idea, John. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Let's get Melody and Shawnee up on KMBZ.
Hi.
Hi.
I just have a quick question. I have a background in early childhood education. And, one of the things when you're working with kids and you're talking about unfortunate situations like child abuse and those types of things is that there's just a benchmark. You don't tie food to performance. If you're talking about a family that does that, you're talking about child abuse. And there are minimum things that need to be provided for children. So for a school system to even consider tying food to performance in any way just really gets under my skin. So those are my thoughts.
Melody, thank you for them. We appreciate it. If you want to read more about this story, it's up on our Facebook page. It's also up on Twitter at KMBZ Radio. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket. Coming up, so the Oscars are this weekend. And I know that there are some people that hate watching rich people pat themselves on the back. You're really going to hate what rich people are getting for free. What's in that Oscar bag? We'll tell you. Plus, a sequel to a movie that a lot of people loved in the 1990s is coming out in just a couple of years. We'll tell you about it next.
Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Space Jam. Here's your chance, do your dance at the Space Jam. All right. All right.
Come on and slam, and welcome to the jam. Hey, Sam is in for Chris today on the other side of the glass here on Midday with Jamie and Wicket. What year were you born, Sam? What year?
1997.
I never like it when we ask that question on this show.
I didn't realize you are younger than Space Jam. You are younger than Space Jam. It came out in 96.
I graduated from high school the year you were born.
Year Sam was born.
Sam, yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah. I was talking about Sam, not you. I'm not feeling real great right now. I'm just gonna say that's not information I need to know.
Wah. I graduated the year Kara was born.
This is a fun game.
That means if I were more popular in high school, I'd be a grandpa now.
I mean, Sam, you have
That's true, Mark.
What's that?
Do you hear him? He said, "If I were more popular in high school, I'd be a grandpa now."
Yeah, that's probably true.
Wow.
If I were more popular in high school. Look,
that means Kara Markser could be your daughter, right? Yeah, do that. Wow,
man,
weird,
huh?
Sam has doesn't have the voice of a 21-year-old. Like you have a voice of a guy who's been in this industry for a while, so you're blessed with that.
Yeah, nobody's ever really questioned me being old enough to get into places. Like I don't get ID'd very often.
Like when you hear Sam do news stories, I'm sure you call up the people. You're like, "Hello, I would like to interview such and such," and they're like, "Yes, sir, here we come."
Yeah, and I'm just a 21-year-old new kid trying to figure things out.
Lord. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay, so aside from the fact that Sam is younger than the original movie Space Jam, which came out in 1996, the internet is abuzz because we've been waiting for this decades, as a matter of fact. Space Jam is going to be done again. Now, they're calling it Space Jam 2, and it will not star Michael Jordan. It will actually star LeBron James. But here's the, it's not a sequel. This is really strange. Our friends at KMBC Channel 9 have this. It's on our Facebook page. The Space Jam reboot has been a long time coming. Decades, in fact. And we now know when it will be landing in movie theaters. Space Jam 2 has an official release date, finally, July 16th of 2021. So just over 2 years from now, they will release Space Jam 2. It's going to star LeBron, who's going to take over for MJ, who was originally in the movie. And what's weird is, as I read this, it doesn't look like it's going to be Space Jam 2, a sequel. They're going to reboot it. Right? They write, it doesn't look like Michael Jordan will be involved in the film. And the new movie will act as a reboot of the franchise rather than a sequel. Maverick Carter, one of the filmmaking partners, says, quote, there's already been one that was good. We got to make a film that's great. Last movie was pretty damn good. I mean, come on. He added the potential of Michael Jordan being involved. Quote, hopefully there will be a role for Michael if he wants it. And the guy that wrote and directed Black Panther, Ryan Coogler, is going to produce Space Jam 2. And it comes out in July of 2021. I don't know how, I mean, I saw, did you ever see the movie Trainwreck with Amy Schumer and John Cena was in it? LeBron's in that movie.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, LeBron's in that movie. And he's really good. Like, LeBron James is, you know, he's not a great actor, but when it comes to athletes turned actors, The Rock is really good. Biggest movie star in the world, dollar-wise. And LeBron wasn't bad. Cena's really good. LeBron's pretty darn good as an actor, and now he has to play a basketball player.
I feel like if you take the people at the top of the sports that tried super hard to get there and they apply themselves to something like acting, they can pull something out.
I don't think Tiger Woods would be a very good actor. Just something about Tiger and the way he presents himself and carries himself. But LeBron, Peyton Manning's great when he does those commercials with Brad Paisley. He's really good on SNL. I think LeBron's going to do pretty well. Because that's half the reason he went to Los Angeles anyway. Went to go play for the Lakers because of his next career when he's done playing basketball.
Being a movie star?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll be in the movies in some way.
He's going to be the next gorilla character instead of The Rock. Like what was that movie where they had to fight the gigantic gorilla and The Rock's like flying off planes and stuff?
Rampage.
Yeah.
Rampage.
Yeah.
Which was a remake.
He'll be the next Rampage.
Which was a remake of a video game well before you were born.
Well, I didn't know it was a video game.
Oh, my
so.
Lord. Get out of here.
I have seen King Kong. That's similar, right?
Which one?
The originals?
Okay. So the original King Kong, not the remake?
I mean, I've seen the remake too. Okay. But.
Space Jam 2 coming out in July of 2021.
Have you guys seen Uncle Drew?
No. And I have
not that I recall.
No.
It's actually not horrible.
Nope. Don't want to see it. It looked terrible. I don't understand why they made that movie. It was because of an ad campaign. And it was a dumb ad campaign. They made this movie. Zero interest in seeing it. Zero. None.
I don't understand this text. How the hell can you not mention Terry Crews? How the hell can you not mention it?
Oh, as an actor? All right, Terry Crews done well in Hollywood.
Okay.
Look.
Any other actors you want us to mention?
I mean, former athletes turned actors. I can I can go all day. I can go all day without. I mean, okay. Jim Brown was in a bunch of movies. Pete Vukovich was in Major League and pitched for the Milwaukee Brewers in the 1980s. Terry Crews. Sure. I'll go with it. I'm surprised no one said, hey, you haven't mentioned O.J. Simpson.
That has not been said yet, no.
O.J. was great in the Naked Gun movies. He was tremendous in those movies as Nordberg.
And then things changed.
And he killed two people and then robbed people and violently attacked people.
And, you know, also, not to be forgotten, ruined a David Hasselhoff pay-per-view concert with his white Bronco.
Yeah,
that's what was happening that night. That's what I remember. I was babysitting that night, I was right at the age, I'm aging myself, but I was 15 or 16 that year.
Considering it was right before I was born?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shut up, Sam.
Almost at high school.
Yeah. Shut your mic off for the rest of the day.
And David Hasselhoff was doing a big pay-per-view concert from Germany. And nobody watched, not that a lot of people were watching it anyway, but that's what, everybody watched the White Bronco instead.
I remember it was the NBA Finals, and they had the NBA Finals and the Bronco Chase, nationally televised NBA basketball game. It was the Rockets and the Knicks, and the basketball game was the small screen on NBC. I remember Bob Costas saying, "This is going on," and it was because it was OJ, and he was good, great actor, great athlete, terrible human being. Allegedly.
Texter is right. Mark Harmon was a college quarterback at UCLA, I believe.
Well, hot diggity.
His dad was also a big deal at UCLA. Well,
I did not know that.
That runs in the family with the Harmons.
No, Mark Harmon's dad was, he is Mr. Wolverine. The old man in Michigan absolutely worship Tom Harmon.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He won the Heisman in 1947.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Charmin Mark Harmon, yeah, they call him Charm for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
He was like the stud on the UCLA team.
Still looking good. Mark Harmon, 67.
I like that nickname, Charmin Mark Harmon. I don't think I've ever heard that one.
Oh, Silver Fox. Yeah, that's what they call him now.
All right. It's 10:58. It's midday with Jamie and Wicket. Don't forget, it is National Margarita Day. How do you like your margarita? Text the word rocks or the word frozen into 22980. We'll update it for you coming up on the other side of the news. With that, we get to Mark Lavoie in the newsroom.
Jussie Smollett prepares his defense. We'll have more on that coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.